7 minutes past the hour as we look at market action with our guest, Mohammed Appapai, head of Asia Trading Strategy at Citigroup, joining us from Hong Kong. Mohammed, thanks for being with us. There's so many things to talk about. I think we have got to begin with what the Fed is up to these days because of the way in which the dollar has been behaving. We had quite the rally in the U.S. Friday. The survey from the University of Michigan on inflation expectations really spiked here in early October. And now we have Jim Bullard over the weekend saying we're more likely to get another supersized rate increase in December. I mean, if we have a much more aggressive Fed, let's say through the first quarter of next year, how much more will markets become unstable?
Good morning, and thank you for having me on the program. In fact, it's quite interesting because this morning, in comments to my traders, I said to them that, you know, most of the numbers that I put together, which showed them, you know, the S&P falling to 3,200, the fair value for the S&P to fall to 3,200 by the end of the year, with the bear case projection of 2,900, that's all projected by really year end. And I had actually thought there was going to be a Fed pivot by the end of the year. Now, if the Fed pivot doesn't happen and interest rates continue to go higher and balance sheets, I think there was a line from Mr. Bullard saying that he thought that it was premature to pivot even on the balance sheets. We could be looking even at numbers like 2620, but I think we've got a fairly significant 10 weeks between now and the end of the year where a lot could happen. The region that we're in represent some area of financial instability. We're in an unstable equilibrium here in markets. And the question really is whether something breaks in the financial system between now and year end that causes them to pivot, or whether they just continue with the policy.
And with cracks starting to show up, Mohammed, I mean, how much leverage does the Fed have to calm markets while trying to fight inflation? When you look at stress levels, we've seen US government bond liquidity at March 2020 levels.
Yes, I think there's a lot of potential areas for instability. We've got the ECB starting to talk about doing QT. We've talked about the idea that if the ECB wants to do QT and stop the decline in the euro, stop the rally in the dollar, and keep equity markets calm, they would need to do something like 150 billion euros of QT. And of course, that would be very destabilizing, we think, for the European sovereign market, as well as for the European banking system. And then closer to home in Asia, a concern is really the FX reserves of Asian countries and whether they're going to need to liquidate some of their treasury holdings to get the reserves of dollars that they will need to intervene in the currency markets. But these are just two of the risks that we see. We're basically looking at potentially a dollar funding shortage, perhaps going into the end of the year. That could be destabilizing as well. So unfortunately, no good news seems to be on the horizon for now. We just have to, I think we're going to see things getting much better, much worse before they're going to get better.
So, Mohammed, giving everything that you're kind of putting on the table here, it's definitely risk off. As you de-risk, do you want to go into cash? Is this a time to build personal liquidity?
I think on the personal side, it's a little bit different. I think there are opportunities there for the longer term. So, for example, if we are correct in our view that there may be a deflation or a disinflation cliff on the other side of this, where we could see, yes, inflation numbers remaining elevated from now and until probably 6 months. But then 6 months after that, what you could start seeing is that there is a very significant fall in forward inflation. And that's one of the reasons why the market is pricing rate cuts. Like if you look at one year forward inflation, it's at 2.36%. So yes, cash for now, but we're looking for opportunities.
We're watching the yen towards 150, and I know you told us last week it could be 160, maybe even 185. At what point do we see some further intervention here with the verbal jawboning not really doing much to detract from the weakness?
Yes, I think we've seen, even over the weekend, Japanese officials saying that they're uncomfortable with the pace of yen depreciation. That follows comments also from authorities in Korea and in China, as well as other places as well. I think that the problem is that the fundamentals at the moment are against all the other currencies and really arguing in favor of dollar strength. So until that fundamental picture really changes, any intervention will just act to slow the dollar's rise, but will not actually change it. So we think for the time being, there may be everybody, markets looking really at around the 150 level for intervention. I've got no particular insight into that, but I think for the time being, there is no change in the stronger dollar view.
Mohammed, we've been talking about the 20th Party Congress and the speech about 24 hours ago from President Xi. Based on what you heard, some of the analysis that you have access to, do you want to be long China right now?
Well, I think that, you know, we think that there was going to be some more policy action in March of last year. And unfortunately, there hasn't been as much. Now, right now, the market is looking a little bit oversold, but that is that we'd be calling for a bounce in the market, regardless of whatever happened in the weekend events. The thing that is really driving the Hong Kong equity market at the moment is really the stronger dollar, as well as the fall in balance sheet. So if you look at the two of those factors put together, that explains something like 95% of what is going on in Hong Kong equities. And clearly, geopolitical risk is also having an impact. If you look at the A versus H spread, I believe that is now at the highest level that it's been at since 2011. So there's a very marked difference in sentiment towards China between domestic investors and foreign investors. So on the HSI, we think maybe a small dead cat bounce here before we head lower towards somewhere around the 14,500 level.
We've just seen the PBOC keep the one-year MLF interest rate unchanged at 2.75%. What kind of further policy support are you expecting, though, particularly when we've got these growth trajectory levels for 2023 very low too?
I think what would really help in China is actually action on all of the four major sources of growth, whether that's infrastructure, exports, on the property sector, and on the domestic consumer. So clearly, zero COVID has got a role to play in that. The falling global demand is also hurting. And what is very clear is that the perception, especially in Hong Kong equity markets, is very much driven by this rising geopolitical tension. So we need some action on all of those things. Whether we've got that over the weekend, it's not so clear yet. It really depends on, yes, we've got the speech from President Xi, but really depends on some of the other things that are going to be happening over the rest of this week. But I think overall, we had believed in Chinese exceptionalism, and that had worked in Chinese exceptionalism in terms of markets. That had worked from March of last of this year until about June. And then it all fell apart again. So that it doesn't feel like there's any Chinese exceptionalism in an era of a very strong dollar.
All right, Mohammed, always a pleasure. Thank you. Mohammed Appabai is Head of Asia Trading Strategy at Citigroup, joining us from Hong Kong.